Carlos Estevez, and I listen to Halfway Around the Halo.
Fires the first. The Angels have no hit. The Seattle Mariners racing back to the track.
Hello and welcome to Halfway Around the Halo, the LA Angels UK podcast. This is season 6, episode 4, actually maybe episode 5. We've been churning them out so far to start this year. I couldn't actually tell you if it was 4 or 5. But we're back. Once again, I am Nick Wright at LA Angels UK on all your favourite social media platforms and delighted to be joined by Toby Barnes. Toby, how are you doing?
I'm good. I'm a lot better than I was kind of at the weekend. Now we're through a couple of series, but yeah, it's feeling a little bit more positive.
Yeah, baseball's well and truly back, isn't it? First week out of the way, opening weekend, obviously a bit of a whirlwind at times. But I'm sort of feeling in that period where all my thoughts are about baseball, and it does subside. But that first week, second week, the whole day, it's kind of like you're just waiting until the next game. And we had the off day yesterday, and that was tough because you just want to get on a bit of momentum, particularly when you start winning some games. You don't want to have these off days. You don't want to have the break. You're just excited for the next game. So didn't enjoy the off day, but we'll start talking about how the season's been so far in a minute. But what else is going on with you? What's been going on work-wise? Let the listeners know a bit about you.
Yeah, so I'm lucky enough that I actually work in live sports itself. So I do graphics for a lot of sports events. It's a bit quiet at the minute, but I've had a lot of leave. I've had loads of things going on. I've had kind of like birthdays and other kind of events going on. I'm off again this weekend. But yeah, no, the next kind of exciting job, I guess, for me is working on the Premier League darts. Mm-hmm. So anyone who's interested in that was on yesterday. So that filled my off day, watching the darts, and I'll be working on that next week. And yeah, it's exciting to get to go here and everywhere, potentially off to the States in June. All being well for a bit of work, so yeah, hopefully that all comes to fruition, and I'll be out there if I can catch in a game here or there, depending on where. I don't know where I am yet, but if I can catch a game, then that'd be good as well.
I saw the child prodigy won again last night, didn't he? Back-to-back Premier League,
yeah, week. 2 weeks in a row for Littler. So yeah, it's I can't believe how much he's changed the world of darts, to be honest. It's incredible, the publicity. I mean, even people in America who I know don't like darts have heard about this kid and like, why is this kind of little pub game so popular in Britain? And then they kind of watch and they go, okay, I get it. The atmosphere is just incredible.
Absolutely. And also, you got a marathon coming up, right?
Yeah. So I am running the London Marathon for Pancreatic Cancer UK. That's in 2 weeks' time on the 21st of April. So yeah, I'm really nervous for that, but also really excited to do it. It's something that I've always wanted to do, and to get a chance to represent such a fantastic charity is, that's incredible. And unfortunately I'm a Coventry City football fan and they're playing that afternoon at Wembley against Man United in the FA Cup semi-final. So that'll be an interesting one, whether I make it to Wembley, whether I fancy sitting down for another 90 minutes or,
yeah,
I don't know. I'm not sure. I'm not quite sure. I haven't decided whether I'm going to go or not yet.
Interesting. And we will drop the donations link underneath the next podcast. So if you're running the marathon, anybody that wants to donate to Toby's course, it's a great course. So if you
that'll be fantastic.
Yeah, we'll drop that link down in the next when I tweet this out and post this on social. So if anybody does want to go and donate, please feel free to do so. I'm sure it'd be appreciated. Because I've got to be honest, it's rather you than me running that marathon.
So well, it'd be good to see a big LA Angels UK flag halfway around the marathon.
Exactly. UK Phillies ran it a few years ago, actually, in full Phillies kit. He got it all sorted. I went to see him over there. So it's been done. We got to represent the baseball on the marathon. Toby, let's talk Angels baseball then. So we're a week into the season. The Halos currently sit at 4-2, probably beyond our wildest expectations when we saw the first two games start. Let's jump back then. Before we get onto all these positives, let's jump into opening series, opening weekend in Baltimore. And actually, in fairness, we obviously did the preview just before that series. We had Alex Norris on, who, Baltimore fan, pretty much called it as it happened. Pretty much as we sort of said as well, those first two games were absolutely disgusting. I was at MLB Meetups UK, so the first watch event of the season, as you know, listeners, that I do as part of MLB UK community. We put on these watch events in London where once a month-ish and we get people together. Anyway, I was at that event in the evening watching the game. There was a mass contingent of Orioles fans. There must have been 10, 11 Orioles fans there, which was great to see, but things unraveled very, very quickly. We basically just capitulated in those two games. Opening day, Sandy had an absolute shocker. Second game, just again, the Halos bullpen and Stars just couldn't get anything together. The hitting struggled. What did you see from those first two games, Toby? And what were your thoughts after Saturday as to how long this season might actually end up being?
I think we all summed it up in the preview. We all said it was going to be a very long series, and the Orioles are a very good team. So it will kind of be a bit of a litmus test as to where the Angels are at. And I think they proved from those two games that they're not going to do a lot, to be honest. And the Orioles are probably going to go far. They're a lot of people's World Series favourites for a reason, to make it there. They are a very, very good, well-constructed team. And yeah, like you said, the starting pitching, Sandy, I think the bounce back that we needed from last season wasn't there. Obviously, in his second start that we'll talk about in a bit, he did a lot better, but his first start was kind of like, this guy is the same guy that we saw last year. Bullpen, that's where all the money had been spent. Didn't look like it had been a worthwhile investment. Obviously, Luis Garcia, up until when he appeared against the Marlins, had an ERA of infinity because he couldn't get an out, which is obviously something you don't want to have as a pitcher, as anyone, really. So yeah, it just looked like it was going to be a struggle and a slog. And yeah, I feel like there's not a lot worth more talking about the first two games because they were so bad.
I mean, there were some moments in there, wasn't it? It was lovely to see first game, obviously, of opening day, other than the series between the Padres and the Dodgers. Mike Trout, first at bat, hits one out. That set the tone for hopefully an incredible Mike Trout season we're going to get. It was great to have that, like, 3 minutes or whatever it was of celebration, though, wasn't it?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, everyone goes kind of like Trout's back and whatever. In my opinion, Trout never left. Like, he struggled with injuries and that, but he's never left. He can't be back if he's never even left. So yeah, I'm excited to see. As we said, if he can stay healthy, he will be one of the best players in the league. Obviously, he's kind of the best Angels player, but he'll be one of the best players in the league if he can keep up what he's done to start with.
Yeah, I mean, I actually quite like the Mike Trout is back stuff just because it's a bit more fun. Keep it going. Like, let's pretend. Let's get that. Let's actually try and rally people together. All that adversity. That's what we need. I think Angels win have been talking about it this week. Like, the Halos fan base is quite divided. I mean, the stuff with the ownership is dividing people. The on-field product's not being great. So, like, what we need is that everybody channeling that into support and coming in and a collective for the team and these young guys. So, whilst I fully agree with you, like, Mike Trout's a superstar, he always is, will be a superstar. I love the fact people started to write him off. Those ranking lists, like, he wasn't in there. He wasn't being talked about. Like, you look at fantasy. He was being drafted, like, 100th pick or whatever in fantasy. It's madness. So I like it. I'm buying in. Mike Trout's back, and we got to just get behind him and push that narrative.
Yeah, by Lord Mike Trout. I think everyone's opinions towards the ownership aren't really divided. They are quite united that they want the team sold. But yeah, in terms of direction, I think everyone's a bit split. No one really knows how or who to root for in the team at the minute. So yeah, I think that if we can all unite behind the guys that we've got, I think it's going to end up being worthwhile. I've seen a thing going around that for the opening home game, everyone wants to stand up and applaud Anthony Rendon. I'm not sure how much difference it will make to his on-field product because he's very much struggled. But yeah, I think if we can all rally behind everyone, then yeah, that's kind of the best thing that the fan base can do.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, the Rendon thing, I'm torn on. Does a guy like that really deserve the sort of ovation people are planning? Probably not. But at the same time, from what we were just saying in terms of rallying around and getting people behind this team and hoping that they can go on a run and do something special, which people aren't expecting them to do, then I kind of get it. So I've sort of been on the fence. I've stayed out of all those discussions, haven't really commented. We'll see. I'm not sure it will happen. What happens on Angel social media isn't necessarily what happens at Angel Stadium. So, yeah, interesting one. But it was lovely to see Mike Trout go and do that. Second game against the Orioles. I mean, Canning gave up five, went five. Didn't think he was actually as bad as probably his line turned out to be. I think on the whole, we pitched quite well, but just some mistakes and some bad errors and whatever else that happened for the Halos. But things just capitulated when Luis Garcia came in. It just got worse with the pen, didn't it? So, yeah, as you said, they're a very good team. We're not a very good team. When you're not on your top form, these things will happen. They're really good hitters. The starting pitching just wasn't there enough. The bullpen capitulated. So, yeah, the less said about that, the better probably. But the Orioles are going to be up there all year. They're going to be good, aren't they? And actually, when we manage to get to Sunday and take the UK friendly Sunday classic 4-1, that was really promising, right? What did you see on that start from Reed Detmers, from the hitters? I mean, I think we said it, and I've definitely said it on social media since. I actually really appreciated leaving Detmers until that third game because I think he's the best pitcher in our rotation. I know we both agree on this. But at the same time, not having him open day has given him this opportunity to A, face Tyler Wells, so a worse pitcher, and get the win. But B, just not have that pressure, I guess, going into the season. So, yeah, what did you see from Detmers? What did you like? And what did you see from the team on that third game?
I think Detmers is kind of putting it all together. We've mentioned previously, kind of on podcast enough, that Detmers never really looks that comfortable and that much in control, but he looked like he'd got it. He'd got that little bit of swagger walking around the mound. And I think that he's going to put together a really, really nice season based off of that start. And I think I picked him as the guy to get the most strikeouts as the starting pitcher. I think that will kind of hold true looking at the stuff that he's got. I think that plays quite well. And it's just kind of, as a young guy, that consistency has not been there. And if he can string kind of 3, 4, 5 starts together, who knows where he could go? Obviously, everyone's going to have that one rough start every now and again. But if he can kind of keep those to a minimum, I think that he might be a really, really dark horse shout for something like some award come the end of the year, or whether it's an all-star appearance, maybe, if he can keep up what he's doing. I think he was really, really good.
Yeah, he was. I think the thing with Detmers is, though, that I'm cautious of, we've seen this before. We've seen some really good starts. And there were still mistakes in this start, and he wasn't necessarily punished, but was really, really positive. But it's the consistency. That's where he needs to take the next step, isn't it? He needs to do this 2, 3, 4 times in a row. And then you start seeing who Reed Detmers could be at the top of this Angels rotation.
Yeah, well, obviously, in the same season, he threw a no-hitter. He got optioned.
Yeah.
So that kind of shows the lack of consistency that he had. Kind of doing something as incredible as throwing a no-hitter, and then kind of, well, a couple of, not even 2 months later, got sent down because he was struggling. So yeah, if we can kind of just keep those mistakes to a minimum, I think that he will be the most valuable young pitcher the Angels have.
Did he throw a no-hitter, did he? We haven't actually mentioned that on the show before. I don't know if you know anybody that was there, because that must have been a pretty special moment.
No, I don't. I'm not sure I do know anyone there. I'm sure that whoever was there, it was incredible to watch in person.
Yeah, I think it must have been for whoever that was. But we'll always remember that Detmers no-hitter. So yeah, Halos, 1-2 to start the season. Went into Miami. I think that Sunday game just gave everybody a lift as we go into the Miami series. And, well, how the Miami series went was incredible. Obviously, got the sweep. 3 victories in a row. You now sit at 4-2. Really, really promising to see. What are your main takeaways, firstly, from that Marlins series before we break down the games?
I think what we kind of haven't mentioned, and what a lot of people have, is that after game 2, and how bad that was, there was the team meeting with Ron Washington, and the Angels are undefeated since having a team meeting. I've never, ever heard of anybody having a team meeting 2 games into the year, but whatever was said, it seems to have galvanized everyone. And like you say, that kind of the final, closing out the Orioles series with a win, just gave everyone that little bit of a lift and a little bit of momentum. I think, yeah, it was a really good series. I feel like the Marlins are struggling with injuries a lot, which contributed, and nobody thought they'd be as bad as they are. Because the Mets won yesterday, they're now the only team without a win in the entire league. So nobody predicted that that was going to be the case, but the Angels probably paid them at the best time. I saw that Yuri Perez is going to be out for the year as well. So they are very much in a bad way with injuries. So, but it's just lucky that, lucky that the Angels were able to capitalize on I guess, a weakened Marlins team and put together some really good games.
Yeah, definitely. I do feel sorry for the Marlins. I know they've lost basically four out of their rotation already, and not just any old rotation arms, really high standard elite guys in Major League Baseball. So I do feel for them in that ways, but also they seem to have a weird off season where they're resetting again. They were a playoff team last year, but as ever in Miami, they just seem to have these years where they don't want to spend. They want to try and restock the farm and lower payroll and make some money for the ownership. And it's just, I feel for them. It doesn't work. But you're coming off the back of a playoff season, and yes, you're losing a few really, really good pitchers to injury, but spend some money. They lost like Soler's power. They lost 30 home run plus. Didn't really replace him. I mean, they've got some big contracts in there they really don't like Avisail Garcia. Absolutely hated, booed when his name was announced on opening day. That says it all. So whilst very happy with the Angels' performance and victories, you've got to take it with a little bit of pinch of salt just how bad this Marlins team is. Swept by the Pirates, although the Pirates have been good to start the year. Swept by the Angels, sitting there, no real promise. Even the stars, I mean, Arias, we managed to deal with quite well. He got on base a fair bit. We struck him out a few times, and Jazz the same. I mean, I love Jazz Chisholm. I think he's a potential superstar if he can stay healthy. But we just seem to deal with them pretty well. That first game, Silseth didn't pitch particularly well. Only went three. We conceded four in the first. But I think their turnaround there, and as you said, they had the team meeting. The turnaround was the bullpen. They came in for six innings, six scoreless innings. Looked really good. I think it was five or six pitches used in throughout that. And just that was promising. Managed to get the runs. Obviously, Mike Trout did Mike Trout things, and the Halos started hitting, which was promising. But are you worried about Silseth there going three, and he couldn't command his fastball, couldn't really throw strikes?
Not massively worried. I mean, we saw it with Sandoval on opening day. He didn't make it out the second. So, and he bounced back in a big way against the Marlins. So yeah, hopefully Silseth can do the same. If he kind of puts together a few bad starts, then you start to get worried. But one kind of mediocre to below average start, I'm not too concerned about, because he is a really young guy at the end of the day, and these are going to happen. These are going to be a thing. It's kind of, you've got to accept that guy can't be elite all the time. So if he has one bad start, we can kind of chalk it up to kind of first of the season nerves. I feel like that's going to come for everybody. So yeah, it's kind of, I'm not massively worried. I think the one big takeaway from that game was how incredible Soriano was.
Yeah.
In his three innings. That was, wow. I mean, there's not a lot of other words you can say about that other than how incredible it was.
Honestly, yeah, it was just kind of mind-blowing, wasn't it? We knew he had some good stuff, but to come in that first inning he came in, he was just unhittable, wasn't it? He was just moving it so far, left and right. The velocity was like 101, 101, 100, 100. It's unhittable at that stage when he comes in. And it's going to be interesting what the Halos decide to do with him this year. And I'm very much on the fence and torn about how you use him, because with an arm like that, if you can stretch him out and become a starter and he can actually sustain this through five or six, then absolutely. I mean, that's a front-end starter type stuff if he can sustain it. He's currently stretched out, and we used him in long relief there, didn't we? You said he went three. That's fine and actually is helpful in the pen. But is using him in that sort of situation the best use of his talents? You could also see him as sort of a back-end bullpen piece, couldn't you, as well, in high leverage? Again, I mean, as we said, he was unhittable, particularly those first two innings. I think he got a bit tired in the third, but still came out of it unscathed. But how do you use an arm like that if you can keep him healthy, which is the big thing?
I think the team needs to have a clear, defined plan for him. I think they either need to pursue stretching him out and playing him as a starter, or they need to keep him as a mid-to-long reliever. They can't kind of flip between the two, because if anything, that's going to affect his development more. If they kind of go, oh, we'll start you this game, and then we'll kind of go, oh, actually, no, that didn't work, we'll move you back. They need to have a clear plan and actually go for it and accept that there's going to be a couple of bumps in the road. If they stretch him out, he might not last the longest, but they need to keep pursuing with it. And similarly, if they're going to keep him in the pen, they need to accept that he would be, with that stuff that he showed, a high-end reliever. But if he can do it for two or three innings, I don't see why you won't want to kind of stretch him out if he is that good and if he can be that good consistently. I think chuck him in from the start and see what he can do.
Yeah. It's all going to be about command with him, isn't it? As long as he can throw enough strikes, he's going to be a really, really good piece of the Angels for a number of years, but he's got to keep that, keep working on that, keep throwing strikes, and then see how it goes. But yeah, I'm still on the fence. I think I need to see more of him as we go through the next few weeks to just sort of determine what his longer term role is going to be, even if it's just this season, and then maybe next season stretch him out during spring into a starter full time. Who knows? But yeah, it's a promising and a positive thing to have rather than a lot of negatives we usually see with Angels pitchers. So it's nice that we can talk about something positive. And also on the same game as that, I mentioned Trout's performance. Let's just take a moment to recap that 473-foot bomb. I watched that 100 times, I reckon, so far in the last few days. It is just vintage, majestic Mike Trout, isn't it?
Oh, incredible. I saw that on the following day that they used the tweet that Angels Win posted about just a meteor coming down. And honestly, I feel like I think it landed in my back garden. Like it was just absolutely huge. And it was just so good to see. Obviously, that was his second of the day as well. So it was incredible to just see Mike Trout hit two home runs in a game. He's back. Like I say, I don't think he ever left. But, you know, if we keep the rhetoric that Mike Trout is back, Mike Trout is well and truly back.
Yeah. If he plays a full year, he's going to be at the top, around the top of the home run leaderboard, without a doubt. I mean, the power is still clearly very much there. The swing is still there. It's so compact. It's so gorgeous. I can watch that all day long. Just when he connects with them like that, there's no better sight in baseball for me.
I can't believe he gets so much power behind his swing, because it almost feels like a three-quarter swing.
Yeah.
Compared to anybody else who swings a baseball, that is kind of a three-quarter, really, really short swing. And he just gets so much power behind it. It's incredible. Like, the bat never goes behind his head. And the ball just flies. It's incredible.
It was Stantonian, that, wasn't it? I mean, you know when you're up there with Stanton's distances within that stadium that you've hit the ball a long way, absolutely crushed. And actually, I saw Trout and Stanton are so far ahead of everyone else in, is it 470 plus home run, something like that? The only two there anywhere near the top. I mean, Stanton's top of it, I think maybe with like 9 or 10. And I think Trout had 7. And the next one down was on like 4. It was, yeah. Since StatCast, since 2015, this was just, I love to see it. And hopefully we see a lot more of that this season.
Yeah, I'd seen that Trout's obviously, he's got 3 for the year, but his average distance on his 3 is somewhere like 440 feet averaging on his 3 home runs, which is just incredible. Like, to hit 3 at an average of that far is just, oh my God, it's insane.
Especially because the one in Baltimore was only about 400-ish, 405, something like that. So yeah, that is, well done, Michael. Long may it continue. Let's go to the next game then. And actually, just a little tip of the hat from me to myself for Tyler Anderson.
Siler Anderson.
Well, not yet.
We need to get this rhetoric going. Siler Anderson. And that's going to be his name.
A couple more starts and then maybe. But what a start from Tyler Anderson. The best start for the Angels so far. He went 7. He only gave up like 4 hits, K'd 5. Really top performance. The off-speed stuff was looking really good. He was getting people swinging, missing. Just what you want to see from him. It seems like whatever Enright has done over spring and the Angels' new coaching staff, they seem to get him back to... That's how he was performing for the Dodgers before we signed him. The type of pitching he was on, he wasn't really caring about velocity so much, was he? He was locating his pitches. Long way to go. I did tip him for the most wins for an Angels starter this year. That's one in the bank. But what did you see from him that was really positive? And do you think this is going to be sustainable? Or is the caveat, as we sort of touched on the start, this is only against the Marlins lineup that seems to be in disarray?
Yeah, I think you've got to kind of take that grain of salt and go, it was only against kind of that Marlins lineup. But also, he started off last year and his first start with the Angels, he went 6, didn't allow a run, got 4 strikeouts. So he's got an extra inning this year. It's the longest he's gone as an Angel starter, other than the second to last game of last year. It's the longest he's gone without allowing a run as an Angel. So he looks like he is kind of back to that form, and he's doing what you expect from a guy who's not a flamethrower, getting a lot of soft contact and just kind of getting a lot of outs that way. And it's exactly what you want to see from him, getting, like you say, the swing and misses quite a bit as well, and getting those strikeouts. I know it was really positive to see that he had it all together through a lot of strikes. So no, it does look quite positive if he can keep it going.
Definitely. And that's something we've been complaining about for a long time for Angels pitchers, just not throwing strikes. Not that I don't think they're trying not to throw strikes, but they just haven't been locating very well. So we'll keep that going. And the other thing from that game, I think, was it was the Aaron Hicks game, wasn't it? And he'd been getting a bit of stick, a bit unnecessarily, so early in the season. People have their favourites, don't they? People love Mickey Moniak. People still seem to like Joe Adell. Aaron Hicks obviously has been getting some starts to start the year, was in for this one. People were complaining about it, and then he goes and hits his first home run of the season, then drives in the second run of the game. In a tight game, he made the difference for the Halos. So that was pleasing, right? To see him go the other way with the home run and then drive in another. And actually just, he's made some good plays in the outfield as well as a pretty comical one as well.
Yeah, I think I think the funniest thing is seeing Trout's absolute bomb the night before to then Hicks just about squeaking it over the wall the following day. So no, it was good to see him have such a good performance. And I actually quite liked his post-game chat with Erica, just saying how he just wants to do the best that he can for the team, and he knows that he struggled a little bit, but kind of every day he gets a little bit more confident, and hopefully he can just keep that going forward. And I think especially he's there as a veteran to be a little bit more of a mentor to guys like Moniak and Adell. So if he can keep going and kind of just show them what perseverance gets you more than anything else, then that's going to be a blessing for the young age guys, even if they're not getting the at-bats that they want and all the fans seem to think that they want as well. I think having that veteran presence and someone to just be a bit of a voice is something that often goes unspoken, as much as that's a bit of an oxymoron. It often goes unnoticed, I guess is a better word, the presence that they have in the clubhouse and the locker room.
Yeah, definitely. And I think it's a bit harsh when he was being self-reflective, talking about struggling. 3 games into the season, I mean, we expect these guys to come out of spring just in their best mid-season form. It's just not going to happen. People ramp up at different stages, don't they? There's always luck involved in baseball to a certain extent, aren't there? We know that. I mean, these sort of things are analysed and counted. We know that there is certain amounts of luck involved with getting hits and getting on base. So I wasn't stressed. I mean, I think it's a nice problem to have. You have 2 young guys there that we know at varying levels have some performance at major league level. With Adell, obviously, it's just questionable in terms of consistency and whether he can get on base enough. But we know he has the power. We know that he can connect with the ball and hit it a long way. So, yeah, it was nice to see Hicks have that moment. I think he's an important clubhouse guy for this team this year. Around a lot of young players, it's really important to have someone alongside Trout who can actually lead the outfield. So, yeah, really promising to see that. Then we go into that 3rd game. Sandy back on the mound. Much better. Got through the first. Struck out the side. Ended up going nearly 6. I think he went 5.2. Gave up a couple of runs. But, again, was throwing strikes. And that's the most important thing. Actually, was throwing strikes. The off-speed stuff looked a lot better. The fastball was being located better. What do you think from Sandy this year? You've seen 2 starts now. Which Sandy do you think is going to be the one we see more often this year, I guess?
Yeah, I'm not sure. Obviously, Barry Enright, the new Angels pitching coach, came in and he said that he wants a lot more strikes, right? Especially first pitch strikes. And I think in his first start, Sandoval didn't get a first pitch strike to any batter he faced. Obviously, he didn't face many batters, but none of them were a first pitch strike. And then did a lot better with that in his second start. So I think if he can find the location and get the command of kind of the first pitches, especially, that can set him on the right foot. And I think that realistically, it'll be something in between what he's shown from his first and his second start. There won't be kind of striking out the side. Kind of very, very rarely he has, as he's shown, he's got that in the locker. But I don't think it'll happen. I think more often than not, you might see a struggle than you will a good performance. If I was to kind of place a bet anywhere, it would be on him to struggle more than he does succeed, I would say.
Yeah, I probably agree with you, but I hope not. I really like him. I really want to like him. I think he's a local kid. I felt so sorry for his mum on opening day, didn't you? She was there. Obviously, Erica went and interviewed her. It all went so horribly wrong. And I was just thinking, like, that must be her worst nightmare, just sitting there and knowing that her son was blowing up and couldn't get the outs and taking out the game early. But hopefully a bounce back. I want him to be good. He needs to be good. We need this rotation to be better than we've all predicted, or else the team won't be able to do anything. So fingers crossed that second Sandy start sort of sets things in motion for him to be along that path rather than the opening day start. The rest of that game was absolutely superb, wasn't it? It was a 10-2 victory for the Halos. The hitters got going. There's three guys, really, I want to talk about on this. Actually, four guys. Just shout out Miggy Sano, who finally, again, another one like Hicks that had been getting a bit of unnecessary stick because Washington had been starting him. Finally got a couple of hits for the Halos and looked good, and really hard hit balls. You see that the strength is very much still there.
Yeah, speaking about hitting it hard, he hits it very hard. He's got the hardest hit ball of an Angel this year, over 114 miles an hour, which is just incredible. I saw a stat that when he makes contact, it classes as a hard hit ball, which is kind of like over like 900 miles an hour, 86% of the time. Which is just insane.
The challenge is, though, hitting the ball, because he swings a lot.
So Mike Trout, for reference, Mike Trout is about half that. And we know how hard Mike Trout hits a ball, and he's about 43%. Yeah, so now 86% of the time he hits a ball hard.
what's the league average? Do you know?
No, I'm not sure what the league average is. It's kind of going to be somewhere around 40%-ish, I think. And Sano to be kind of twice that. Obviously, it's a very, very small sample size so far, but it's just kind of getting it over the wall, I think, now. He's hit it hard to the infield a lot and obviously put it together and got a couple of hits. Yeah. Just kind of finding that home run powers there. It's just kind of finding the home run actual kind of angle and things like that.
And I think it will come. I mean, it was promising to see that. Three other guys then I want to talk about. Firstly, we'll go in Nolan Chanuel. The streak continues. That hit by pitch, I think every Angels fan has never cheered a hit by pitch quite as much in a while anyway. Really tough assignment for him, obviously. Came into the game because of injury. Hit a sack fly to drive in a run. Great, but doesn't get you the on base. And then at the plate and then gets hit. And he sprinted down the first baseline, didn't he? He knew.
Oh, it was... The little slight lean in. Luckily, the ball was already off the plate, so you're allowed to have a little bit of a lean in. But I feel like he's never been wanted to be hit by a pitch more than in that at bat. Because I thought when he was going to get brought in the game, I was like, oh my god, the streak's dead. He's going to have two plate appearances and it's over. And then luckily, managed to pull it out. And strictly, is it 38 games now to start his career that he's been on base? So yeah, who knows how long he'd keep it going?
No, it's impressive from him. It's been an impressive start, and I don't think we've seen the best from him yet either. I think he just looks like a major leaguer, though. That's the thing I will give him. He does not look out of place. And even though I don't think he's been firing in all cylinders yet, I think the average is below 200. He still looks like he should be there. It looks like there's quality at bats to come and he's going to be a good piece. And he has at least got the home run as well to start the year as well. So we've seen some power. The next two guys then, one I'll go with Logan O'Hoppe, and it's hard not to be impressed by O'Hoppe to start this year, hasn't it? The average is up there. He's getting on base. He's driven in some runs, catching really well. I saw, what was it? Who was the pitcher? And he basically framed it so well. And it was at the top of the zone. And he brought it back into the zone and got the strike. Oh, who was it?
Oh, it was a Detmers curveball that made him duck out of the way.
Yeah, the curveball. That's the pitch.
Yeah, the hitter ducked out of the way and it was kind of off the plate. But the fact that O'Hoppe brought it in and kind of framed it up for a strike, yeah.
Unbelievable stuff. So O'Hoppe has been as good as advertised. Hasn't hit one over the fence yet, but I think that's going to come. But you've got to be impressed by him so far.
Yeah, he's kind of leading catchers in so many kind of hitting stats already, and it's only in their first six games that he's played. Obviously, had the day off that Tice came in, and Matt Tice was doing Matt Tice things, getting a lot of catch interferences, which he's very prone to. Unfortunately, but no, O'Hoppe was very, very good, and yeah, he's batting really well, as you say, catching very well, and calling a good game as usual. It's kind of what we've come to expect from a guy who's kind of didn't really have a lot of time last year with the injury, but yeah, looks, if he can stay healthy this year, then I think he's going to be a very, very key asset to the Angels team.
Only six games in, yeah, but he's hitting .438 and an OPS of .1175, so yeah. What a start from Logan. But going on to the Angels MVP, Taylor Ward, friend of the show, Taylor Ward. What a start. And again, I'm having to do these really early because they're never going to last. And I like to get my own wins and plugs in there early. But that Taylor Ward gets an MVP vote is not looking quite as silly right now, is it?
No, for sure. I think if he keeps it up, he might get more than one. So you know, you might.
Maybe he wins the whole thing.
I feel like you might just have someone on the voting committee just to like you might have them in your pocket. So, you know, he just to guarantee that he gets an MVP vote. And maybe that's why you said that was your outliers prediction, even though you secretly know that he's going to get one regardless.
I couldn't possibly comment on that. But 25 at-bats to start the year. He's hitting 320. He's hit three home runs, driven in a OPS again over 1,000. Played some good outfield defense as well. Just batting cleanup. He's in a spot behind Trout, so you know he's going to get some opportunities. And so far, he's really shining, and I love to see it. And he's just so shy and humble. I saw some comments about him in his post-game interviews afterwards, and like he speaks really well, but clearly he's not natural and confident doing that, and he's the first one to admit that himself. But he's just the sort of guy you love to root for, isn't he?
Yeah, I think he's very much a likable character, especially with knowing the injury that he faced last year as well. And also kind of the story that he had kind of coming up, and no one was really sure whether he'd be a major leaguer, and he was kind of like up and down and very much didn't know. And then kind of out of nowhere, Justin Upton gets DFA'd and they're kind of committed to Taylor Ward, and is like, he's going to be our starting everyday outfielder. And everyone was kind of a little bit unsure. And then he just put it all together and everyone kind of was like, okay, this is what they've seen. And he's managed to do really well with it. So yeah, I'm glad to see that he's pretty much picked up where he left off in terms of just starting really, really well. Coming off the injury, I did see that Taylor Ward always starts the season very well and ends it very well. April and September are his best batting months of the year. And kind of if he can continue that into kind of May and June, that who knows? He'll probably be going to an All-Star game if he keeps up this form.
Yeah, this is very much like 2022 Taylor Ward right now to start the year. And we know the injury sort of derailed that. So fingers crossed again. As we say all along, the main thing with this Halos team is health. If you can keep a healthy product on the field, you never know what's going to happen. So love to see it from Taylor. Hopefully, fingers crossed, I'll ask him to come back on the show at some point this year and we can chat to him again. Who knows if he'll want to, but fingers crossed. The other guy then finally, you touched on him earlier. When we're talking about this standing ovation, and it's Tony Rendon. Tricky one to start the year because actually he's hit quite a lot of balls hard. The swing's been coming around. I think he's been a bit unlucky. A few on the warning track, a few that probably should have dropped in but haven't. But he's an ofer for the year and clearly at least.
Ofer 20 for the year.
Yeah, he's clearly.
With one walk.
He's clearly not an ideal leadoff hitter in those situations. But what do you think so far, Rendon, this year? And this is not going to last, is it? I mean, he is obviously going to start getting hits if he's on the field.
Yeah, I think everyone's frustrations were vindicated when he had such a bad error in the first game on opening day. And everyone's kind of like, oh, okay, this is just how it's going to be. But he's looked slightly improved since then, and the defense has been a lot better. He made a couple of really good. He made a good bare hand play.
Really nice. Really nice.
So yeah, it is there. It's just kind of putting it together. And like I say, he's hit a lot of balls well. They just haven't found a gap, and they just haven't snuck through. So I think it is coming, but it is only like 6-7 games in. But it's hard to kind of keep the tether with him. Because you think he's either got to be dragged down the order or just taken off completely. Because if it's just a free out at the end of the day, then it's just you're basically playing with an eight hitter lineup with a deficit of an out. So unfortunately, that's how it's been the first six games. And like I say, he has only got one walk in 21 plate appearances with getting out on the rest. But he did score from that. That did lead the comeback. So that was a crucial walk that he did get. If we're talking very slight positives, but unfortunately, there just isn't.
Earning his money there with the walk and the run. Well done, Tony. That's the conclusion.
But that's kind of as far as you can go with the positives.
If you were there tonight, are you clapping him, yes or no?
No.
You're a bad fan.
I don't think I'm a bad fan for clapping in what I believe is a positive. I can clap a good on-field product. I'm not clapping someone for sympathy. I'm not giving someone a sympathy applause. If someone's injured and they've done well, I'll clap them. If someone's injured and they've been terrible, I'm like, get him out of the game. Like, I have no sympathy for someone who's bad. Like, if you're playing well, I will applaud you. If you're terrible, I'm not applaud you. I'd rather Mexican wave than applaud someone who's bad.
Oh, no. That is a step too far. Come on, let's not push it.
Banned. I know your hatred to Mexican wave. I thought that was where you'd agree with it, but apparently that's where the line is.
That is the line. I will never, ever support a Mexican wave in any circumstance. Ban the wave. If you're listening to this, don't do it. Finally, then, before we get on to Boston series coming up, Ron Washington's lineups. Thoughts?
I thought when I saw his first lineup, I was very confused as to why he's got Rendon leading off, and I'm still confused as to why he persists with it. I think there's been some questionable bullpen choices, and I'm kind of like, as we've discussed, how much say does a manager really have? The bullpen choices last year were very questionable. Kind of the last few years have been very questionable who's coming out at certain times. But again, kind of taking everything with a pinch of salt because it's the Marlins, I guess, and how they've started, the choices looked a little bit better. I think it just remains to be seen when we have a tough opponent. So I think the next week will, or the next couple of weeks really, with kind of playing Boston and Tampa home and then away.
Yeah.
I think they'll kind of be a little bit more indicative of where he is with his choices.
Yeah, so let's go on to Boston then. They've had a good start as well. They're 5-2, had the extra game than us, but also have looked pretty good unexpectedly to start the year compared to what people's expectations were of them coming in. Interesting matchup today. You got Crawford against Canning. Canning really, as we said, didn't pitch badly per se on his opening start, but obviously there's a lot of stuff to work on there. That's the home opener. With 1-4 in a row, this is where you need momentum, right? This is a big, big game, I think, for the Halos early in the season just to try and build on it. Because if you lose today, you're back to, you know, back to... The mood's gone, I guess, when you lose your home opener. So how do you think today's going? The rest of the series, I think we've got Detmers on the mound against Whitlock, and then it will be Silseth against Tanner Houck, I think, are the three. So... I like those pitching matchups for the Halos. What do you think tonight and for the next two?
Yeah, I think Boston, a little bit like the Angels, nobody expected anything out of them coming into the year. They're stripping the club for all it's worth, really. They're not spending any money. And no one thought that they would make the start that they have. Their pitching has been exceptional. I think they lead the league in ERA from the starting pitchers, which is something that you didn't really predict, because obviously they lost Sale and Giolotto's out for the year. They signed him and then he kind of got injured in spring. No one really thought that they would be playing how they are, a little bit like the Angels with their kind of 4-game win streak. So it'll be a very interesting one to see where the Angels are at and whether they can beat a perceived bad team in the Red Sox or it's going to be another tough slog like it was against the Orioles. I hope that in these three games the Angels can win at least two. Obviously, as you always say, as we always say, if you win two out of every three games, you're a playoff team. Mm-hmm. So if they can win two of the first three, then I think they'll be doing quite well.
Yeah, I agree. And I think the Tampa series as well coming up, they've been pretty mixed to start the year as well. I actually think this is the real test of the Angels. And it's so early in the season and it's really hard to read too much into this. We know how April and May went last year and we know how the rest of the season went. So we're not jumping the gun on anything at all, but it's just interesting to watch the Halos as they are right now. But I think these two series, definitely, as you sort of alluded to there, are real testing and measure as to how good we could be this year. They're two teams, I think, if the Angels are going to be good and push towards playoffs, you need to finish above. So where we are against them, you can't read too much on the Marlins. The Orioles series, I think, you can probably read a bit into because the Orioles are a much better team than us, but getting the win was good. So yeah, I mean, I'm really, really curious how this first week goes. And obviously the momentum we've built in Miami means that we're coming into this on a bit of a high and we just need to see that extended. And I'm interested to see what he does with the lineups now we're a week in. As you said, he kind of put his veterans out there. We kind of had these slightly funky-ish lineups, probably not the lineups we were expecting anyway. But it's whether now we're a week and we get 2 weeks in, he starts putting the younger guys in, you know, Renhifo in there a bit more, Moniak in there a bit more, Adele at DH maybe. We'll see, but I guess it's nice problems to have right now.
Yeah, for sure. If you've got guys that are in form and you don't know who to play, it's always a good problem. But when you've got guys out of form who you're still persisting with, it begs the question of kind of, are you going to keep going or are you going to let someone else just have a go? I think obviously he tried to put Renhifo in and he had to come out with the headaches and dizziness or something. So hopefully he's okay and he can come back and kind of show. But as I say with Renhifo, just keep him tucked away till July. Bring him out when the weather's warmer and when he starts hitting like 400. Like bring him back out then. Like keep him away for now. I don't mind that. Doesn't upset me too much.
He's a spark plug. I want him leading off. He's not even really a stereotypical lead off hitter either, but I like him up there.
Yeah. So I think if you can, like I said, obviously saying it kind of slightly in jest, but no, if he can put something together to start the year, that'd be a nice addition. And then, like I said, I think it'll be very. The problem is that Hicks is a switch hitter, so he's very kind of matchup independent in a sense that you can throw him in against anyone, with Moniak and Adele behind him. So yeah, it's kind of if he's not playing well, it's do you give the other guys a chance? And I think that you have to. Just let them play.
Let the boys play. Right, as I always used to do with Dave, your first one really. Let's get some predictions from you. Boston series. What's the score?
We win. Sweep the Red Sox. Going for it. We continue the sweeps. Get a nice 7-game win streak going.
And 3 against the Rays.
I think we take 2 or 3 against the Rays.
Wow. So you're going for a 5-1 homestand.
5-1 homestand. Start of the year, I think everyone's going to be really excited. No one expected the Angels to be 4-2 to start of the year. So if they can kind of put it together, that's where they'll be going.
You really are leaning into this Dave role here. I am not going to be quite as optimistic as you. I'm going to go for a 3-3 homestand.
I hope the splinters don't hurt too much.
I think we take 2 from the Red Sox and 1 from the Rays.
Yeah. I hope the splinters from you sat on that fence for like every single issue.
Just more realistic.
It's almost like you're just like an Angels media rep. Like you sat on the fence for everything.
It's just more realistic for this team. You just got to expect. I think
the scheduling itself is very odd. The scheduling itself is very odd because we've got home and away, Boston, then Tampa, and then away, we have Boston, then Tampa. It's very, very odd. And then we don't play the rest of the year.
And we have Baltimore at home in August, in April as well, don't we? So
yeah,
we get all these series out of the way very early on.
Yeah, so it could be kind of a bad time to play Boston because they've started so well, and a good time to play the Rays because they haven't started so well. Or it could be could go the opposite way. So yeah, it's really odd that kind of playing 6 games against Boston in April and that's it. We're done for the rest of the year.
Yeah, it is a bit strange. Probably a good time to play Baltimore, to be honest, but it didn't turn out that way. So.
I don't think there's ever a good time to play Baltimore at the minute, though. They are a very good side.
Have you seen their AAA team, though? Have you seen
My God. They'd beat the Athletics, for sure.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt.
Get them in.
Yeah, get them. Chuck them in. Hopefully, they're not up by the time we play them next. So,
yeah, hopefully they can keep Holiday down a little bit longer.
Yeah, precisely. Right, Halo's home opener, the first of the 2:38 a.m. starts for us over here in the UK. Hopefully, we'll try and go to bed a bit early tonight so I can wake up for it rather than stay all the way up. But at least it is a Friday night, so it is the weekend tomorrow. Are you going to stay up for it?
I will be up all night because I'm at a gig tonight and then at an after party. So I'll be up all the way through and I'll get home to start. And then
you are passing all the way through. Out. There is not a chance you're making it to the final pitch of that game.
I will do my utmost. If it's a good game, I'll be up. If the Angels are getting blown out, I'm going to sleep.
Yeah, you'll be asleep, I can guarantee it. But yeah, looking forward to it. Home opener, big weekend series against Boston. We'll obviously be back next week when we run through the Boston and Tampa series and anything else that's happening in Angels world. Thank you everyone for listening. If you haven't subscribed yet, go hit that subscribe button. This will be up on YouTube as well at some point over the next day. But until then, we'll speak to you soon, Toby. Thank you.
No worries. Thank you all. Hopefully speak to you at the end of another good weekend.
Fingers crossed. Go Halos.